Keeping with this theme, according to the Pew Research Center in its latest survey, just 19% of Americans trust the government to do what's right. Back in 1958, it was 73%. With talk of dysfunction and lack of productivity in the federal government also comes talk of leadership and a yearning for real change. But none of that can happen unless we boot out the biggest obstruction to change in the United States, the huge obstacle standing right in our way, the U.S. Constitution. That's what Jeffrey Toobin, staff writer for The New Yorker, poses in his latest article, Our Broken Constitution. Jeffrey Toobin, welcome to the program.
Hi, John.
So we can certainly be frustrated with Congress, but at what point do we really consider an overhaul of the Constitution itself?
Right now.
Really?
At least as far as I'm concerned. You know, it is funny how the Constitution is this object of universal reverence among politicians and even, I think, among ordinary citizens. But once you start to unpack what's actually in the Constitution, it gets more and more troubling, I think.
And I think, you know, we've got issues with dysfunction and the exploitation of rules in the House and Senate that keep things from happening. That's sort of the Article One problem in the judiciary. And in the Bill of Rights, there's a huge technological problem of keeping up pace with what's going on in the world of communication and media. Does this call for a constitutional convention of some kind? Can the amendment process handle this, or do we really need to start from scratch?
Well, that's one of the problems with the Constitution, is that the amendment process is so unbelievably cumbersome and difficult. As people may remember from civics, if they took civics, which not many people do, two-thirds of the House, two-thirds of the Senate, and three-quarters of both state legislatures in each state have to approve a constitutional amendment. And according to one professor I consulted with, that means that less than 10% of the population can stop any constitutional amendment. So you really have to get overwhelming support for a constitutional amendment, which means that we've had very few of them. Now, the good side of that is, of the 27 amendments, 26 of them are probably pretty good, all except prohibition, and that one was overturned. But it really does suggest that amending the Constitution is a very difficult problem.
Over the period of those 27 amendments, was there a period where historically the Constitution wasn't held so sacred and was actually viewed maybe a little more like a Chevy on the fritz with in need of a new carburetor?
Three times, actually. If you look at the 27 amendments to the Constitution, they are almost all concentrated in three periods. The first period is the Bill of Rights, 1791, 4 years after the Constitutional Convention, when they recognized that they needed to protect individual rights, and so they passed the Bill of Rights. Then, of course, after the Civil War, you have the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, which get rid of, at least technically, on a legal basis, the worst of the discrimination that black people faced, that you had slavery overturned by constitutional amendments. And then after World War I, the Progressive Era, you have direct election of senators, votes for women, income tax, and prohibition all come in around the same time. So those three periods are really the only time you've been able to muster a significant national consensus to change the Constitution.
So let me just scratch out a couple of possibilities here. It seems like abolishing the Electoral College could deal with the Citizens United problem in a big way. That an overhaul of the House and Senate rules could get rid of some of the obstruction. Even if you don't go along with those, where would you go to fundamentally change the Constitution?
Well, I'm a little more optimistic about changing the problem or solving some of the problems than I am about changing the words of the Constitution. I think one of the happy lessons of American history in this area is that when the public really does get behind an idea, the Constitution changes even without the actual amendment process. Now, this has worked for both the left and the right. Conservatives mobilized to change the understanding of the Second Amendment, to have an individual right to bear arms, and ultimately the Supreme Court agreed. And I think that did reflect, despite what a lot of New Yorkers think, a broad national consensus in favor of expanded gun rights. But on the left, think about gay rights. You know, gay rights are now protected in the Constitution because of a series of Supreme Court decisions, but those decisions only happened because the public really mobilized behind the idea that gay people couldn't be discriminated against simply because they are gay. So you know, I wound up concluding the piece with the famous first three words of the preamble, we the people still does matter. And that is true regardless of whether you change the words in the Constitution or not.
But we the people has to be focused on we need to fix things as opposed to rummaging around to try to find the original stone tablets that declare the intent of the framers. We've got to get rid of this sacred idea of the Constitution if we hope to get to meaningful change. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's part of it. I think the cult of the framers is something that really does deserve to pass from the scene. They were far from perfect people. Their document was far from perfect. They didn't even agree with each other on what it meant in great measure. So I am unsympathetic to the originalist argument, but all that does is open the gates for deciding what the Constitution means. And that I do think is a project for Americans to continue to decide on all the time.
If Jefferson was alive today, the two things that would shock him the most are the fact that France is a minor power and that we're still using that old Constitution.
Among other things, yes, I think those are two things he wouldn't be surprised by. One of the things I learned in writing this piece, which I didn't know, is that he said around the time of the framing of the Constitution that he thought it should last for about 19 years and then they should get back to work on it. It's lasted a lot longer. It's done a lot of good, but I think it also needs a tune-up as well.
Jeffrey Toobin, staff writer for The New Yorker, thanks so much.
Thanks, John.